Well, hello there. This is Jim the Keys bartender coming to you from a steamy Key Largo. Yes, we're getting into our summer, even though it's technically, according to the calendar, it is spring. Feels like it hits you like you're opening up a pizza oven every time you walk out the door. And we don't keep the house that cold. So I can't imagine what it's like for these people out there to keep their AC on at 68, or even lower. Oh my God, how do you bear going outside? I always think that you raise your tolerance up, but people say, well, you can't keep your AC too high because then it won't go off, and then you get a build up of moisture and you get mold and all that stuff. I understand that, but it's getting warmer outside. That means the AC comes on more often. So as long as the AC is going on, it's taking out the moisture out of the air, humidity out of the air. You get it? Some of you don't. But that's science. Not everyone gets science. It's usually, for some people, it seems like it's all magical. Everything that goes on there, you really don't need to know what goes on. I was explaining to one of my young coworkers. He was a fellow, and he goes, well, there's all this water dripping out of this on the outside of the refrigerator or something, the glass refrigerators that we keep some of our items in, and there's condensation coming off the ceiling near the AC units. And I said, well, that's condensation. And he goes, what's that? And I, condensation, come on, you know what condensation is. I said, when you have a cold surface and it's warm outside, and it's more, if there you have a level of humidity and with some surfaces cooler on the outside, it collects, condenses moisture that's in the air. It's not moisture inside the object that the moisture is building up on. It's moisture from the outside that's accumulating and condensing on the surface. It's a scientific principle. I say, you know how refrigeration works, right? The act of, and they said, well, how do you know about refrigeration? I said, it's just one of these things you accumulate. It's called knowledge. It's not all pop culture out there. Not all pop culture. It's important as a bartender sometimes just gain general knowledge on a wide array of things. I mean, I have a mile wide understanding of some things and an inch deep, but I think my understanding is deeper than a lot of other people's understanding. And there's a lot of, I think what happened over the years is our older generation. I'm not just talking because I'm the older generation now, but people became before me, almost everyone else. Most of the world came before you, young fella or young lady. Just remember that. And they accumulated knowledge. And years ago, people were taught a wide range of subjects. And there are a lot of things to know nowadays. There are a lot of things. I understand that. There's from the inner workings of DNA to the cosmos to, to financial systems to computing. There's a lot of things to know, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't try to understand them. Just that there's a lot to understand does not mean you shouldn't endeavor to gain knowledge. And knowledge in the pursuit of knowledge is an honorable thing. I don't know who necessarily who said that. I know someone said it. I don't take that, I don't credit that comment to myself. So I guess that's a semi footnote. And the person that gets footnoted on that, I don't even think they probably said it. Shakespeare is credited with a lot of comments when it comes to like wisdom. And then there's people like Marcus Aurelius, a famous Roman philosopher. And we always give a footnote. It's I guess what happens is when someone makes a statement and it's done. And people say, well, we're not exactly sure where that came from. Well, we'll just see, go back as early as we can and find some kind of clear enunciation of a statement. And if that's the first one, then we'll credit that person. When it probably that idea has existed before in more of an oral tradition, meaning, you know, things weren't always written down. Things were said before we had a written tradition in human civilization. And then before a written tradition, because things were written down, there's tons of things that were written down we lost. There was a famous historical event about a burning. I don't know where I'm coming up with this stuff. I'm just feeling particularly well today. But there was a fire in the Library of Alexandria. And there was a lot of knowledge. We lose a lot of knowledge. We've lost throughout the ages. And we're just discovering a lot of knowledge. And most of the things, the new discoveries, were pretty good at recording. Now it's just organizing them and coming out with a feasible way we can access those things. Boy, I feel particularly clear right now. Several days ago, I'm going to talk about this. My sister heard, I guess, two podcasts back, because I released the last podcast I released without an episode number, because it's been about 5 days since I recorded it. No, maybe not even, maybe more. No, 4 or 5 days. And I just didn't feel right about numbering that episode. It's just one of the quirkiness things I do. Today, we may not talk about bartending, but, you know, in the back of my mind, this is a bartender talking. So it is about bartending, isn't it? So she heard me say I was tired. Well, I had accumulating, you know, since ad nauseum. You hear this stuff, ad nauseum, me referring back. I'd hate to have to hear me all the time and hear me repeat things. Say Jim's going to talk about his incident in March where he had went into arrhythmia and he died for 7.5 minutes. He always brings that back. Well, things have seemed to change since then. But then again, before that was going on, I was, it's a way I looked at aging. I looked at it as an inevitable decline, because time waits for no one, but it does have the effect on everything. Time does, it's entropy, they call it in a scientific term. Entropy is how things, I guess the best way, dissipate. But there are laws that say that there's no way that energy could be lost. Energy stays forever. It just, entropy is the act of the dissipation of it. So when you have it, let's say life is like a 100, well, you take a typical human life, about 100 years. It's like a 100-year explosion, meaning one explosion, you're just going bigger, 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 bigger. And until you get the full, you know, explosions happen really quick most time, but just think of it in the timeline, that as an explosion begins, there's ignition and then there's a reaction. And if you drag that over, let's say a human life, 100 years, you come to the fullest extent, wherever that could be, your maturity, the full maturity of that explosion. And then there's the dissipation of the energy as it goes outward. Outward. And then it settled down, where you just see the footprint of an explosion, which is kind of like life in the body and things like that. And everything appears, because of entropy, to have an ending. And I had to, you know, I have to, you know, throw that in, because the suggestion is that nothing ends. And dissipation of energy or entropy just means it moves someplace else. It could be spread out. It's kind of, it is a metaphor for the creation of the universe. It's a metaphor for creation of the universe. So 2 weeks ago, I was feeling the full extent of the aging process. I was feeling tired, not getting enough sleep. And it was just coming on. And then I guess today's Wednesday. So when I made that last recording, the recording my sister remembers, I was beginning to get, I think I was feeling the oncoming of some kind of flu. And then I had a problem with a molar in the back of my, and it was causing great pain. I was taking some painkillers, and the painkillers mess I can do nowadays is something like an ibuprofen. And it happened on a Friday, and I was feeling so, gosh, it is amazing that the human spirit could be affected by that. You'd think the human spirit could overcome almost everything. But for me, energy that comes, my biological energy, what do you want to call it? My just vitality gets affected, and it affects the way I think. It affects the way I think, and I get kind of negative when I'm feeling low energy. And I have to learn a way to work around that, I guess. So I had, it's a broken molar. I'm going to have to get it removed because I have a cardiac issue. Because I have that cardiac issue, I have to, I'm not used to having to do this. I had to consult my cardiologist before I had this, which I considered an emergency dental procedure. And I guess there's a priority level when it comes to emergencies. When it comes to heart, that's number one. But dental's down the list from there. I don't know how far down, but I know you having a dental problem could contribute to a cardio problem. I guess I don't have to add that extra suffix on the end of that word. And, you know, when you're in pain or, you know, depending on what your tolerance level is, you start getting selfish. It really draws your extension of empathy away from others, and you start getting really solitary in your view of the world. The world gets much smaller. And I was thinking, man, I was getting really dark, negative thoughts, really dark, negative thoughts about my life. And so many things pile on. There's other smaller issues. And as of today is Wednesday, Monday, I ran up to the dentist, and I have a history of avoiding issues if I can cope with them. And I know that probably extenuates the problems that are occurring. So I had to, I went up there trying to take care of business because, you know, I know it was going to get worse and wasn't feeling good about it. So I figured, yeah, just rip that tooth out. I'll get a replacement or whatever you want, whatever you suggest is the best way to handle it. But I got to get that out because that pain's not good. And I don't want to get it, make it worse and have it affect my overall health. And being informed that I have to talk to a cardiologist, I have to get these two offices, getting two doctor's offices to talk to each other. I mean, I don't even know how to make a metaphor of that. To get a dentist office to talk to a cardiologist office, it's kind of like having, I don't even have to say this, if you're having two hot girls talk to each other, or an ex-wife and a new wife talk to each other and coordinate, even though I don't have that, but coordinate childcare. They don't want to talk to each other for some reason. They just want to issue proclamations. The dentist says, well, he has to have it done, blah, 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 blah. You're going to have to tell him how to do it. And the cardiologist has to say, well, he can't just go in and get it because he's on these medications that make, you know, the procedure kind of threatening if he bleeds too much. But they don't want to initiate the conversation. They know what they need to do, but they don't want to. So here I am acting as a mediator, calling both offices. And you got to talk to each other. This is their phone number and a fax machine. This is the other person's phone number. I call the other person and say, this is their phone number and fax machine. Please exchange information in a non-judgmental way with the best information going back and forth so we get it So I had to go and say to the dental office, I had to say, please send them the information on what you'd like to do to me. Which I don't mean go fuck yourself. No, the procedure. And the cardiologist, you please address how they can do that. It's almost like I have to explain it. You have to, they're going to send you information to tell you what they want to do. And the cardiologist, you're going to explain to them how they can do it or what I need to do in order for them to do it. And at the one time at the cardiologist's office, I did get one person, and I don't know if I've ever behaved this way. And it's a possibility I could have behaved that way. I don't think I've ever behaved this way. I told him, I said, I need emergency dental, and the woman was not having a very good day. And I don't think it was a particular member of the cardiologist's office, but she, the person I had was kind of, I guess, portrayed as a bit surly. She goes, you haven't seen the doctor since February. He said, well, yeah, that's about three months ago. And she goes, I said, I go in for regular 6 months visits, so it's not like I didn't go to the doctor. It's 3 months away from the next one. And they go, yes, but you haven't seen him for. I go, okay, yes, that is established now. We have established that. So let's move forward. And she goes, well, you don't see him again till August. And I said, yes, but you know, emergency dental surgery, you ever have a problem? Are you a human? Are you a cyborg where you don't need to have things taken care of? Have you ever had dental pain? Because I need to get that taken care of now. Because otherwise I'm not going to sleep. And if you don't sleep, then I guess I'll be seeing the cardiologist a lot earlier than August. You know, he'll be writing a note saying, well, he didn't make it because he wasn't sleeping, and insomnia created this kind of problem and blah, 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 blah. Oh, I did blah, 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 blah again. So eventually they talked to each other. I guess some more level heads prevailed and they sent the information. They called me and they told me, oh, you don't take this medication for 5 days. It'll make sure that your blood isn't so too thin. So I said to the dentist, I said, you hear that? I go and repeat it back to the, I, so I call back the dentist and say, listen, I got 5 days. So you know that window. It's fair. You don't do, obviously, you don't do a job on a Saturday or Sunday. So Monday or Tuesday would be nice, maybe. You know, make a suggestion. Not an expert. I'm not telling you how to do it, how to do the procedure. I'm just telling you how you might want to schedule it. And if it has to go to Wednesday, it has to go to Wednesday. I may need an extra day of ibuprofen, an extra day of not being on one particular blood thinner. And make sure the cardiologists know, hey, listen. Oh, they did say don't take the blood thinner for at least 5 days, which leads me to know that I can go a little. I know I went for an odd, but it's funny today with all the technology we have, you figure people would be able to coordinate things a lot better. And I think they coordinated things much better about 30 years ago. But technology is a little different. If we could just get those two things coordinating a little better. And use the te great technology, powerful technology we have. Oh man, what a beautiful future it would have been. It'd be like the future they'd show at Disney World when they give you go to that Monsanto. I don't know if it was Monsanto or General Electric future. Yeah, it was General Electric. And you go in this little thing and they show you what the life would be like in the future. And the life in the future looked kind of shitty. I mean, it was like this, everyone was wearing the same kind of drab grays and blues. That's the way I remember it. And the weird techno, I would rather have looked at the future we have now with the rooms, the living rooms looking somewhat the same, but you have different technology around there. Okay, well, I'm gonna take a break and come back in the second half. And I hope, you know, you can tell by the sound of my voice, I'm feeling better. I'm not on any other things, the mind altering thing. Oh, I went a little long. Talk to you a moment. I'm back. Oh, I guess I'm back. I mean, I could have died and I'm in heaven right now because I'm feeling so much better. And I did mention in a previous segment that my, I don't know if I did, maybe I didn't, but my sister listened Yes, she did. She listened to an episode and she said, Jim, you didn't sound good. I'm worried about you, blah, blah, blah. Please call me. She said, Kevin, send a message. Please call me. She could tell by her voice. And I told you I wasn't feeling good about myself. I wasn't feeling good about work. I wasn't feeling good about everything in my life. And a lot has to do with how you feel on the inside, physically. And there's no way for me. I mean, I wish I was like a Buddhist monk where you say good, bad, it doesn't really matter. Good, bad, it doesn't really matter. That's just the way life is. But yes, for most of us, how you feel physically dictates how you project yourself. And I was not feeling so well. And I guess if you hear me, you say, oh my God, Jim's back to drinking. No, I'm not. All this is that you hear me on right now is my heart medications. Since I do it because I guess for all those years ignoring my blood pressure, and I look like I'm healthy. I mean, at least I have the form of a healthy person. But, doctors saying, you're not healthy. No, or you are healthy, but your blood pressure is a little high. And we got to do these cholesterols all out of whack. So I guess maybe I should, this last bout with the tooth and the stuff, I said, wow, I guess the philosophy behind me not drinking right now is accepting that I can't drink and drinking does not make my life any better because of the way I handle drinking. Okay. I won't go into that. If you're a longtime listener, you heard all the stories about that, but with a little help of the group in the front of the phone book and the fellowship that we have, I'm able to live my life without partaking in alcohol and being a bartender. People say, oh, it's amazing. You could be behind a bar and do that. Well, it's much like touching a hot stove. After I've touched a hot stove several times, you say, I don't want to touch a hot stove. So I don't do it on purpose. Every so often you may touch a hot stove, but if you stay away from touching stoves or careful going up the stoves, you don't get burnt. And I'm trying not to get burnt that way. So the other things I have to look out for is I was ingesting too many, I guess, too much animal protein. Too much animal protein. Maybe I have to go to more of a holistic whole foods approach, but that's what I'm going to do. Like today when I'm going into, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to go and work out. I'm going to go to the supermarket, pick up some salad, some salmon, some fruit. And start the journey. I haven't been able to eat until like a couple days ago when I had that tooth thing. I'm still have the tooth issue. I thought I was going to have it removed, but now I don't. It's not as much of a rush because we're fighting the infection, and I'm waiting for the blood thinners to leave my system so I can have a procedure done. That's all I'm going to talk about. But I was just talking about quitting things that aren't good for you. It took me the longest time to quit smoking. I mean, who didn't? I started smoking in the 80s and I stopped smoking for the first time in the 90s. But in those 80s, I smoked like I drank enormously and frequently. I'm explaining to people some days I could imagine that I had four packs of cigarettes in one day. I could imagine I had four packs of cigarettes in one day. On a heavy drinking day, I may have three. And that not only is that a harmful habit, it's an expensive habit. And it took me a group of efforts when it got in my head, you know what? These things make me feel like I'm packing cotton into my lungs. And it's not even clean cotton, and it's making it harder for me to breathe. And this could become a serious problem when you get older. Oh, well, I mean, if it was really harmful, they put some warning on the side of the cigarettes, wouldn't they? And lo and behold, there was a warning on the side of the cigarettes. I knew that. I knew it was there, but I avoided reading it. I avoided taking it to heart or lung, let's say. And once I finally took it to heart, I decided to make a concerted effort to kick the habit. It wasn't breezy. It wasn't easy. I did a lot of long walks. That was part of my thing. I always had this thing, crazy thing that I do. I needed to take my mind off smoking. I was doing, I think, the gum and the patch and the lozenge. And not at the same time. I'm not a psycho. I think maybe one time I may have done it, but yeah, I'm kind of a psycho. But I would go for long walks. When I say long walks, up to a 6-hour walk. A little excessive. I was single at the time. I wasn't that single, meaning I had a lot, spent some time. But I was still drinking back in the 90s, mid-90s. And then finally, I think I eventually gave that up. And as it started moving towards the late 90s, and I felt better. I felt better. It was a long road to, get back to it. I may have done some long-term health issues with that. But since the late 90s, I've been relatively smoke-free because I did go back once or twice for short times. But I knew I could quit that. I knew I could quit when I had a plan. I didn't have to go for 26 mile walks. Instead of that, I would just go to the gym for like 2-3 hours. Yeah. Go and work out for 2-3 hours. That was my mid 40s, especially when I stopped drinking. Then it worked out like a fiend. I worked out like a fiend. I was in great shape when I was 19 years old. And then 25 years later, when I was 44. Because I was working out. I guess I still had some mechanisms in my body to help me recover from working out so much. But I would be in a gym for 2.5 to 3 hours a day. 6 days a week. Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's a bit much. But yeah, I always thought for me when I was trying to do something, kick a bad habit, that I would have to do something good at the same time so I could demonstrate that the bad habit was keeping me from doing the good things, and then we're seeing the results. And yeah, I was kind of lean, like who could I point to? Tall, lean, and I was at my optimum. Felt good. Felt really good about myself. But I guess we all go through these changes throughout life. And then recently, it felt as if the age was, oh, Jim, it caught up to me. It caught up to you. And I had to think, well, what else can I do? What is that? I'm not smoking. I'm not drinking. I'm not whoring around. Right? Oh, how about eating healthy? Because I tried to abstinence of tobacco, alcohol. Alcohol I had to do because that was a real problem. It wasn't, for tobacco, it wasn't just what it was doing to me today, what it would do to me later. And alcohol, I didn't know I wasn't feeling the later effects. I was feeling temporary effects and they would go away. But I knew eventually that would ruin me too. But the eating, I was saying like, oh, well, all I have to do is work out 20 hours a week. If you work out 20 hours a week, I can eat anything. I can come home after working in the evening, come home at 12 o'clock, get a large frozen pizza, and put that in the oven. And, I couldn't wait. I was hungry. So I'd get a microwavable sandwich, which I would treat as an hors d'oeuvre, right? And eat that sandwich. And then by the time I was done eating the sandwich, the pizza was ready. I ate the pizza, the whole pizza, no leftovers. No, I was being responsible. Didn't want to waste food. And then maybe cap it off with a pint of ice cream or a bag of mini donuts. Yeah, before you go to bed. Now, thinking that my outward appearance reflected my inside appearance was a fallacy, because then, you know, there's such a thing as things inside that you need to really regulate, and there's the amount of sugar and fats and animal products, you know, byproducts you put in your system that affect you, you know, and that caught up with me a bit a year ago. But, and now I don't eat like I do now. I haven't eaten like that for years because I didn't go to the gym for 20 hours. Sometimes I only go to the gym 8 hours a week. And recently, when I'm not feeling well, I've been going for about 4 hours a week. And I realized that isn't enough. I need to do a little strength training, weight training, and cardio. And I said, you know what? I wonder if I can up my game by eating my eating better food. Staying away from processed and ultra processed foods as much as I can. I think I could do with food what I couldn't do with alcohol. For alcohol, it's all nothing. I'm just like, oh, I'll just have a sip. I'll only have one beer, or only have 8 beers a week, and I'll just do it on one night. Just doesn't work like that. It's 20 beers and a bottle of bourbon one night. You know, that's just the way my body works. And I guess I did that with food, but once I backed off the food, I guess there's still the cravings. And there's a day when you're gonna see cake and you can say, well, I'm not gonna have one. Well, I'll have a slice of cake. Unless it's pre-sliced. My slice is like 4 slices. So I stay away from, you know, it'd be stay away from the sugar. Maybe what's called, I mean, if I had watched those other food items, then I wouldn't have to watch my coffee, because I love my coffee. That's the last thing I would want to give up. I would love to change everything. I got to keep one of those vices. They do that on Facebook all the time, right? You got like they'll show 8 different foods and say, you have to pick 3. And the rest go away forever. And I look at all of them, and there may be 2 items that I could do without them. I never eat those. But then there's 6 of the 8. And he's like, I can't make a decision. It's a Sophie's choice I'm not willing to make. Sophie's choice, for any of you younger viewers, Sophie's choice was a book, I think originally a book, and then made a movie with Meryl Streep. Of course, where it's during World War II, she has to choose between 2 of her children. One's going to die and one's going to survive. That was because that's the only choice. I mean, she was forced. I never saw the movie. It's a little too depressing. I like historical dramas, but you know, World War II is pretty fucking dark. World War II, all war is dark. All war is horrible. But when you throw genocide in there, it gets darker. And yes, I've enjoyed movies about the genocide. I've enjoyed I've enjoyed movies about the genocide. Not that I enjoyed genocide. I enjoyed the movies. You have to enjoy the movies. And it's horrible what happened. I think it's important to let people know that it happened, but you don't have to live in that. And it's important, but it's still important to know. And for some reason, I enjoyed the movies, and there, I have to be, as I get older, I have to be like mentally prepared for that. And these things in my life, when they start piling up, like I was saying, they were all hitting at the same time. If my alcohol, smoking, if I had a weight problem, I've had a couple times where I approached 250 pounds. I'm 6'4". It's not huge. But it's still big for me. I was always lean my whole life. This past week, though, I may have lost up to 10 pounds. Yeah. Yeah. That pain, the tooth pain, it makes it's a funny thing about tooth pain. It makes you not want to eat, but it also makes you not want to work out. So that's not necessarily a good thing either. So here I am. Part of this show is just was a stream of consciousness, giving you an idea what I went through this week. But another one was it's like directly to my sister saying, hey, look, I'm doing better. I know how to address these things. I try not to go, you know, if there's a hole in the boat and water's coming in, I'm going to try to patch that hole and get the water out. You like that? I hope you do. Well, I did. It's a little longer show than normally, but I do appreciate there's a big uptick in my listeners. I think because I moved, I think I have more local listeners since I moved a little further south. And my bartending journeys. It's a bit much. I realize, you know, I get done later at night. I don't like being, I used to live for late nights. I mean, you know me going for a couple more minutes. I used to live for late nights when I was drinking. I mean, I didn't want the night to end. I was out there looking for, meet some lovely ladies. One at a time. I mean, I wasn't greedy. I wasn't like Rick James. No insult to Rick James. But, you know, one, I was looking for one in particular. Anyone that tickled my fancy. I'm not going to go into in particular what my fancy is. But let's just let it be said that I like to have my fancy tickled. And looking for a place and we'll have a couple drinks late at night. Because I was more sociable then. You know, I wasn't in the depth of my issue. So I used to like drinking with other people. And I guess drinking too much. And that's changed. But it still lives in my head. And without all those chemicals and stuff like that to be a little clearer, I don't know what it is. I felt until, I think it may be off the Plavix. I'm the blood thinner. The blood thinner must, you know, this is me being a amateur human physiologist or biologist. The Plavix affected my thinking because I always got a little cloudy. And now I don't feel cloudy. I feel like I'm hitting on all cylinders. I'm not tired in the middle of the day. I mean, blood thinners, I guess, if you think the body is a thing, when you're blood thinner, the blood is the fuel of your body. I mean, or the transports the fuel of your body, your oxygen, your hemoglobin, whatever, you know, that really drives the body. And the food is the fuel. So if I watch the food I'm eating and all those things, maybe. But yeah, I feel better. I'll tell you, I'm going to go back and take it. But we'll see if it slows me down. I don't get like that pause. It's like there's a impervious membrane that stopped from thoughts, brains. Maybe now I'm slipping back into it. Right, it stops thoughts moving from my brain all the way to my mouth, my vocal cords, and being able to process those. So it's working pretty good. Yeah. It sounds like I'm on maybe some stimulant. I'm not. I've only had one cup of coffee today. I would love to have three, but I'm not going to do that. I mean, someday it would be nice. We could say maybe if I really eat right and watch what I'm doing and maybe eat something natural that keeps my blood at the proper consistency and hydrate enough. Maybe I won't have to do it. Who knows? But it's a fascinating journey. It is a fascinating journey. Have a great day, everyone, and I'll be back. Talk to you. This is episode, I don't know if it's 827 or 828. Talk to you later. Bye.